Blog Talk Radio.
So the Imam, he said, the Nation of Islam gave us a sense of qualification without reference to credentials. Man, I'm going to say that again. Say that again. It gave us a sense of qualification without reference to credentials. I think he said that a third time. In the Nation of Islam, when you came into the Nation of Islam, you got lesson number one, lesson number two, English lesson C1, actual facts, and don't have a problem book and a supreme wisdom. It's like, man, nobody in the world could tell us nothing. We got it from the God. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. So we were given through that a sense of qualification without reference to credentials. That the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was the model for that very statement. Self-taught in so many things, in business and grocery and leadership and all of that. And it's like a sense of qualification without reference to credential. I don't have to go to University X, College Y. We love it. Imam Muhammad invited us to, you know, education is sacred and all of that. Get the advanced degrees, get the knowledge, get the credentials. Get that. You're qualified for that. So that's the point. Qualified means the right to be in the race. That's what it means. Are you qualified? Well, that question is actually asking, do you have a right to be in the race? Yeah. You got a right to be in the race. But what do you mean? You qualified. Or what kind of credential you got? I ain't got no credential. My nature. My Lord who created me and the potential that he embedded and he endowed me with, that's my credential. That's it. But the Nation of Islam had to give us that. And, you know, and I know you all have stories about Joe, the one comes to mind right now. There's a doctor. I won't mention his name. Brain surgeon, wallahi, brain surgeon. What, Judge David Shaheed? We can go with him as well. He's not a throwaway. I say it like that, but I'm just saying it's like these are fish salesmen, paper salesmen, etc., who excelled to the higher, which was Imam Muhammad's promise that we would excel into the higher halls of leadership and power and influence in the society just by growing as Muslims, mashallah, and that has happened. But I'm thinking about one who's a brain surgeon who was a heroin addict. Heroin addict. All right? Nation of Islam. And it wasn't like, well, he was already in college and then he got hooked when he was upset. No. He wasn't nowhere near thinking about college. Heroin addict. Nation of Islam offered a heroin brain surgeon. Man, if you are anybody, take from you the honor, the dignity, the conviction to celebrate that and support that. I'm not going to cuss, but you cuss for me. You are a GD fool. And you deserve to be stripped of it. And you can take that however you want to take it. Because if you are the mind, what you talking about? Whether you who I'm talking about. If you got that, you who I'm talking about. And that's the problem. Let's move on, Fahim. All right, so where are we now in this freedom? See, because when you understand this background that I'm speaking to, when you understand this background, then I'm looking for analogies. Like, okay, you find a house, a house is, you know, your people talk about flipping, right? People talk about flipping as a real estate term, Right. So you find an old dilapidated, you know, property, it's on the market, you buy it, and then you invest in whatever you have to do to bring it up to code, beautify it, improve it, boom, 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 make it habitable, and all that way, beyond habitable, make it nice. Okay, so now you did all that. Okay, now it's time for someone to come and live in that house. Someone, they come and they live in that, and living in that house, they build their life from that house. They build their life. So you go back and forth to the job, to the business, to the social, cultural, you know, every other thing that you do, you have a house. But then you go out and do things, and then you come back home. That's your home, where you are at peace, you're at rest, all right? You have your pleasantness of home, right? Okay, well, this is what it was. We were the Negro, we were the broke-down house. In fact, in the caste system, we were the mud seal for the society as such. Humanly speaking, we're broke down. Experimental clinic designed to cause us to dysfunction in the vital areas of our lives. All right, then you get the restoration. First, assimilation of that, a simulation of that. That's what we had in the Nation of Islam. It was a simulation of, this is what it looks like when you actually act like civilized people. This is what will happen when you do this. The problem relative to that solution was that it was artificial relative to the nature of human progress. It was artificial. It was a strategy that had been used in the past, when I say used in the past, mythology, let's put it like that. But the mythology that was there was not a natural mythology. It was a satirical mythology. Indeed, it's called a noble lie. This is not the only time that the Nation of Islam was the only time. That was a strategy that had been used years before. Even that label, the noble lie, didn't come from the Nation of Islam. It came from history. And a strategy. And so we benefited, and another way you can say we were victims of it. It's khair and shar. Some people got the khair, some people got the shar. MashaAllah. That was, it happened. So the idea now, that dilapidation, that crushing down, that experimental clinic, blah, blah, blah. Now, then the rehabilitation, the restoration, right, and the liberation of that, now that potential that had been crushed and buried, et cetera, now something happened to restore it, bring it back. So it's like that house. So it's like the individual becomes like that house that's been rehabilitated, literally and figuratively. It's housing. Okay, now you have to live in the house, right? Living in the house now, human habitability, meaning that once you come back to your human form, you get reset in your human form. Now it's time for you to do the work that human beings do. You're back on the path. If you got it right, you're connected back. You're back on track, meaning you're back on the path to the human destiny. Somebody had taken you off of the path of the human destiny, and then someone created a situation whereby you could get back to the path for the human destiny. But now, it's like getting on and put it like that. Well, literally, like we call them freeways out here. It's that when you get on the freeway, okay, so now it's time for you to get on the freeway. Your car's running again, you got more gas in it, tires been changed, everything's good. Now it's time for you to crank that thing up and get on the freeway, right? And when you get on the freeway, but you get on there. I got a story to go with getting on the freeway, but it's just good. You get on there. It's like, ain't nobody waiting for you. Listen, ain't nobody waiting for you. You have to know the signs, know the signals, know how to drive. And you getting on that freeway as people that's been on that freeway for 100 miles, and they have got a pace, and you looking for the merging traffic side. Some people say, "Man, I ain't slowing down for you." You just gotta wait, right? So, okay. So what the imam has done is say, "Look, get on the freeway and go to the destiny that you're supposed to go with. Now, to use the vehicle metaphor, it's like the Imam has given us some fuel. By the grace of Allah, he has given us some fuel that's like that NOS, you know, N-O-S, you know. Yeah. And it's not that, well, that's the power of the purity of the revelation. Don't think it's some kind of synthetic thing, even though I use that analogy. No. If you can get the Quran unfiltered by somebody else's worldview, you know, let's use this now. Phoenix, Arizona. Family's drive into Phoenix, Arizona from Oakland, California with my mother, Rahimullah Hale. And so we drive, stopped, and we had to put gas in, the car, right? And I was, obviously, I was much, when you hear the stories, obviously, I was much younger than I am now. But in any case, so put gas. So I jump out to put the gas in the car. Just put it in there. Close it up. We hit the road. We get down the road, and it's just a few miles down the road. This car starts. Smoking. Stopped. Trying to figure out what's wrong with it. When the roadside service people come, they check, is that somebody put diesel fuel in the car. And that's one of those family stories for me, man. It's like, man, you done filled the car up with diesel. And it was not a diesel, obviously, right? Okay? So you put the wrong fuel in a vehicle, you might move for a little while, but after that, it's going to shut down. And that's what we have been given. We have been speaking of the right fuel. We have been given the right fuel for the vehicle that we are in even my current car that I have, they had a rebuilt, refurbished engine. Had to put it. It was under warranty. Rebuilt, refurbished engine. But in there, so it's like, you know, it still had those labeled miles on the odometer, but the engine was refurbished, rebuilt, et cetera. So it's like practically new at that time. So you get the rebuilt, refurbished engine, you put the right fuel in it, good fuel in it, not cheap gas in it. You put the good fuel in it, man, you ready to go. Well, that's where we are with what happened with and through the Nation of Islam and Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, refurbished, rebuilt engine of self, right? And the fuel that's being put into the engine of our heart, mind, and soul is the fuel that was made especially for that heart, mind, and soul when it's purified. And that was so the mechanics work was the work done by the Nation of Islam, and the finalizing, the final fixing, if you will, of it was the work done by Imam Muhammad to transition us fully from it with an understanding of it and with the preservation and the purification of ourselves. And now he sits in front of us, as he sat in front of us, teaching us how to connect pure, that freedom and that purity that we have, teaching us how to connect with the sacred language of Quran, and we say scripture, because there's sacred language in mythology, there's sacred language in the Bible, and of course we know divine language in the Quran, and the Imam, just like he deciphered and decoded the information from Farad's Nation of Islam, the Imam has given us the eyes to be able to look at the deepest and the most ancient of wisdom of man from those sources, myth, Bible, Quran, and from the creation. This is no boast. It's no boast. It's like we have proof that this is what we have been given by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And believe it or not, the fact is that this is a part of the compensation for all that happened. Hey, if they decide to give reparations, it ain't nothing but printing up money. It's like, hey, if they do it, alhamdulillah, I don't know if that'll be good for us, if that'll be bad for us. But the somebody looking for the reparations on some other kind of order, physical, tangible, material, et cetera, it will not equal what we have received. Because what we have received, man, it is so far from realizing its potential. Now, I guess I got to use my Bitcoin analogy right now. Bitcoin is like, what is it right now? It's something like $61,000. $61,000, right? And so somebody is saying, oh, man, it's really gone up. It's really, really, really. Yeah, but that's so far from where it's going. I hardly have any time to talk about that story. I've even not talked much about it on Monday broadcast anymore, because it's just like, come on. It's like you either get with it or not. Right now, for me, that's me. It's like, but to talk about a $500,000 Bitcoin, is, I'm just telling you, $500,000 Bitcoin within 5 years is kind of like, that's kind of conservative. That's conservative, right? $1 million Bitcoin, that's coming. And so, and that's cheap, because this is one of those cats out of the bag kind of thing. But let me get away from that. So the point is, that's the same case with Imam Muhammad. The value, the imam's value is undervalued by those who are supposed to know, or those who are seen or deemed to be knowers, and seen or deemed to be those who have got the goods for the ex-Negro, well, you can call them whatever you want to call them. Nobody has. Allahu A'lam, what this process has brought. So it's okay. Everybody, you know, go wherever you want to go. Do whatever you want to do. You know, they say Bitcoin is a Ponzi. Bitcoin is a flim-flam. Bitcoin is tulip. Bitcoin is destined, doomed to failure. Okay. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You know, people were sounding the death knell of the followers of Imam Muhammad, too. But so much for that. So let's move on. So the point is for us to understand that where are we now in this process? We're in the process, and this is what has been continuing. The Imam, that freedom. Even if I was to try to put a number on it. I would even say, well, let's just round it up 2,000. Just leave it like that. 2,000. That's without dealing with anything else. So like, we've been free. The amount we have been free, and that was always his intention. Imam Muhammad was never aiming at having some kind of the 100th anniversary of some organization. His goal is to set us free as human beings, so you can get on the freeway. Hey, you go. Once you're on the freeway, where are you going? Go wherever you want to go. Where are you going? I'm gonna go up here, and I think I'm gonna go live at such and such place. Do it. That's everything. What do you want to do? Academically, do it. What do you want to do politically? Do it. What do you want to do economically? Do it. Just do it. Okay? And that's what the Imam said. Go after what Allah has put in you to realize in the world, to bring it and put on the table for the benefit of humanity. Do it. You're an engineer, you're a doctor, you're a good father, good mother, whatever, business person, do it. And when you do it, in the methodology, in the way that the Imam is, you do it as a truly free human being. I guess I just don't have any other way of putting it. So, let's read this sentence. Reconnecting the purified and liberated soul to the sacred language of the scripture and the creation. Scripture and the creation for building ummah. That's what the Imam gave us. And that's what those who were and are students of Imam Wahidi Muhammad, man, it's like, and that, I'm just one of them, inshallah. It's like, you can go all over this country and you can find men and women with my attitude who said, I don't need a bunch of people around me to do what I have to do in terms of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serving Allah's plan. Where I am, I start right where I am. And I'll do whatever size, macro or micro, that's what I'm doing, and I'm going to do that till I die, and that's what it is, and that's life, and I'm good. It's like there are thousands like me with that attitude out there. So that's the freedom. That's the freedom that we have. Now, what time is it? Oh, we got a minute. We got a minute. Let me change up a little something right here. All right. Yeah, I don't have time to, in terms of the situation right here. I'm a step out here, but if you shock me, I'm gonna have to run back and shut it down. Let's see what's happening here. Let's take a comment that we have here. I'm reading it live on air. Let's see. Wisdom of Imam Wahidi Muhammad. Questions from Imams at the Imams Meeting, Athens, Georgia, Part 21. Question. This is to Brother Imam Muhammad. Brother Imam, you were talking earlier about the blind man. There's a story about the blind man. The first thing that he saw after the mud was put on his eyes was men as trees. Hmm. And then he saw men as they were. Could you give us a further clarification on that? And that's Mark 8:23. Spit to eyes. Tree is discipline. Knowledge. Yes, that was the comeback of his sight. Right. I guess that's the end of it. Doesn't say read more. Yes. Alhamdulillah. Mashallah. Yes, I remember being present at that session. Brother James Mosen, that was from Hakeem Mayfield Rahman. Thank you. James Mosley said, I thank Allah for Wallace Warathdeen Muhammad, commentaries explaining al-Islam to all humanity. Also, Brother Imam Yahya Abdullah bin Bilal Wazir Ali, in you, I think that means and you. But they are in me, and I am in them. We are one, right? A distributed cognition, right? One mind. All right. Wazir Ali and you for keeping me informed. As-salamu alaykum. Keep doing what you're doing. May Allah bless you too, my dear brother. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. All right. Blog Talk, I'm going to go ahead and give you a shot let me see. Blog Talk might be cut off by now. Let's see. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله, thank you for joining us this morning for Quran Salat Institute. الحمد لله, we are continuing in the subject matter. Well, today, language and logic lessons from Imam Muhammad's School of Thought. And it is actually inside of Iblis, of Jinn, Iblis, Shaitan, and human nature, or something like that. I think I kind of lost the line, so don't feel bad if you feel like you lost the line. The specific topic is the only thing, that last part of it. But the point is that we're working our way through getting to the point of understanding how this process of realizing our human destiny gets interrupted. The goal also is, or rather inside of that, the goal is to also truly understand the nature of those three phenomena. In fact, let me be better about that. Yes, Jinn, Iblis, Shaitan, and the Taghut. We're going to get there, mashallah. All we have is all of our life to get there. And trust me, as you understand the components that actually build up in that. In fact, I'm actually inside the presentation, but there's so much that we think to bring or intend to bring and want to bring from the Imam. But it's always a difficult decision. Okay, which part you're gonna bring? Let's do this. We're in it right now. Okay, let's go on. We're right into it. And welcome, assalamualaikum to everybody. So I'm going to let me go ahead and share this to make this first point. The whole idea about why do we have to go these directions? Why do we have to have these stops and elements? Because we're actually constructing the idea as we go. And that is, and this is what we're about to read here, is a critical, one of those always have it with you concepts from the Imam. Because when we talk about the Imam School of Thought, I'll just take 1 second to move the traditional or fixed ideas about school of thought. Just move that out of your mind for the times you're spending with me, so you won't lose the benefit of what's being brought to you. Most times when people think about school of thought, Muslims, most times they think about madhab, which is the Arabic term for it. And they're actually, quote-unquote, schools of jurisprudence, or fiqh. And that is legal reasoning. Fiqh means understanding, but in the context that we're speaking of, it's talking about schools of legal reasoning, meaning that the real idea of madhab is the idea of how they make judgments or rulings on matters that comes before, let's call it a court, right? The decision about whether something is halal, haram, makruh, or what have you, which are categories that were created over time. They weren't born explicitly in and during the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though the lived religion of the time, of the era of the Prophet,
his companions, the Tabi'i and the Tabi'i, all these things. After them, you start getting, at the end of that line, you start getting these things that we're talking about very briefly right now. But when I say school of thought here, I'm not talking about school of legal reasoning. And we're not talking about him as a competitor to Hanafi, Maliki, Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, rahimahullah alayhim. No, it's just madhab in the whole language methodology of Imam. What does it sound like? What does madhab sound like? Madhab sounds like method, okay? So we're talking about school of thought. We're talking about Imam Muhammad's way of reasoning, Imam Muhammad's way of inference making, Imam Muhammad's way of interpreting. And Allah knows best. All we're seeking to do and all we try to do, anybody who says they are, you know, I can't say that I exactly think like Imam, I exactly interpret like Imam, et cetera. I simply use rules that are fundamental, axiomatic to his way of reasoning, interpreting, et cetera, as demonstrated by him. And then I seek to approximate and emulate that process in this. So when we talk about school of thought, then we talk about his way of thinking, his way of reasoning. And I think I said enough about that to move on. So this is what I'm saying, what I'm saying right here. And this is something that is constantly, the word that just come through my mind is melody, right? I don't know. I don't know about sound artistry, sometimes called music, per se. But, I know a little bit, and I talk to people who do. The idea is that, you know, if I say, doom, 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 you know the song. You already know the song, right? Okay, well, that's the melody. Right. So it's like you're watching a movie, right? And you have, and in that movie, that is the key song for the whole movie, whatever. Right. So they don't have to play the whole thing, but they can also stretch the notes in such a way where it's played slow, but it's still the same, but it's been stretched out. All right. All I'm trying to say is that there are certain things that define the practice of this. I'm putting air quotes because I'm not being legalistic or being, limited in the way that we say, or what we mean when we say Imam Muhammad's school of thought. I'm talking about his methodology. What are certain things that have to always be with you in doing that? One is the process, right? The process. And we have the quote here. The Imam says, when I speak to the public, I can only give hints and suggestions in certain matters. It's your responsibility, speaking of Imams who follow and support him, to bring information to support it so that it would be edifying to the people. So the Imam has said, okay, if you're with me, if you are supporting me, then this is what you have to do. First, understand that when I speak to you, I'm not giving you all the details, but then it's your responsibility as a follower, as a supporter, as a student, to go and get information that supports the hints and suggestions that I've given you in certain matters, and you bring the information that will be edifying to the believers. Okay, question to the people. The question, okay, what does it mean to edify? Alhamdulillah. Again, by being in touch with Imam Muhammad's information, then you find how he defines it. He may not even define. In fact, that first statement was just a conversation that we were having as we moved about wherever we were at the time, literally face to face. But this next is from some other publication, likely one of the publications that Imam Ronald, alhamdulillah, has been blessed to compile. But you know, mashallah, I didn't give a specific location, but mashallah, I can go back and find it. So what does it mean to edify? So the Imam says this. Now, this is school of thought. This is school of thought, all right? the Imam says, to edify means to have a picture in your mind, and you're building up a text or building up a speech or a presentation, and you're building it up with a base, and you're putting lined or material upon material. But you first got to have a base, and that base has to be real. It has to be rational. It has to have logic. Then you can put other material on top of it, right? And as long as it edifies, and then he goes on, that means it continues. I put that in so you can understand the flow of his thought. It means as long as it edifies, that means it continues to, it continues building the structure. You're working on something. You have a goal in mind. You're building a structure. You have the right and solid, real, and rational foundation for it. Now you're bringing material to it that syncs with, that conforms to the picture that you have in mind and the structure that's designed to get you to that picture, okay? Continue. So it contributes to the growth of the building of the structure. So it respects the reasoning, school of thought. Reasoning, what is reasoning? Inference making. Does A naturally and logically lead to B, and does B naturally and logically lead to what? What does A infer? Okay, it infers B. Okay, and what does B infer? It infers C. And what does D infer? And when that lines up, then that is edifying. Let's keep going. Every time you add something to it, if you want to say that this is evidence of that and that is evidence of this, well, it has to pass muster in that every time you add something to it, a line to it, that line has to respect the reasoning or the logic in the base. So this is Imam explaining what he means when he says you have to bring what will be edifying to the people. Well, he needs to know what edifying actually means, and this is what he's explaining here. So when it does that, does what? When you add something to it and it still respects the reasoning and the logic in the base, you're not off base. You've heard that language, right? You're not off base. Then it's rational. Then the Imam says, it says, when you finish, so when it does that, when you finish the whole thing, it's rational. The whole thing can be understood by human mind. That's what makes it rational. Somebody has a human mind, not some crazy alien thinking type individual. The whole thing can be understood by a human mind. You have established a structure, logic upon logic, and within a framework of logic. That is what edifying, according to the Imam, means. All right, so therefore, We're headed out on a subject. It's a big subject. When you say jinn, iblis, shaitan, and the taghut, it's like, yeah, it's a big subject, and it's not, you know, the point is it's a very accessible subject. If I was just me sitting down talking to me, it's like, okay, we understand each other, right? But when you want to communicate an idea that you already understand, but it is, yes, a big idea and a very important idea, well, then you have to take the time to build up the structure that would constructively and effectively communicate to another mind, huh? A human mind, that will communicate to them the picture that you have in your mind. That's what language is about, and that's what communication is about, and that's what information is about. And so therefore, it takes time. I mean, all that, I'm saying all that to say it takes time. I don't want you to think that, oh, we started over here, and because that's what it takes to get to the point of understanding. So you just got to be along for the ride. You know, you pass through a whole lot of cities when you have a distance ride, you're going to pass through a couple of states, a couple of cities, a couple of counties in order to get there. But you got one goal. You have one goal. Trust this. Allahu A'lam, and we pray Allah's guidance, help, and support and forgiveness for our shortcomings and his improvement. But I'll say this. I know where I'm going. I just want you to hang in there with me so I spend this time to, hey, look, don't get frustrated. If it was a short race, everybody would have made it. But it's long. And so you got to ask yourself, how important is it for you to have a thorough understanding of the jinn, iblis, shaitan, and the taghut? How important do you think that is? I'm going to leave it to you to measure for yourself. I can't measure it for you. But in my view, you know, that's the third element, which when you understand it, then you can go on living your life and really be a detective of the operations of shaitan, no matter what guise he's operating in, whether the guise inside yourself or outside yourself. That's the goal. So hang in there, inshallah, and may Allah guide us to the best. All right. Okay, so this is a little, that was just a little bit ahead of where I want to go. All right, so let's go back and close out what we did last week, and I pray Allah don't get caught up in too much detail. What the main thrust of what I pointed out last week was just to show first resurrection, second resurrection. There is no third resurrection. After the second, quote-unquote, resurrection, that's the language of that particular movement. That's the only language that applies to that movement. It don't apply to any other movement. It applies to that movement that was born as the lost found members of the Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. And the idea of first resurrection, second resurrection came with Imam Wahdati Muhammad. It was not born in the Nation of Islam. It was born with Imam Wahdati Muhammad as leader of the former Nation of Islam, or the Nation of Islam at that time. Okay, and then he introduced us, first resurrection, second resurrection, and that was it. When he did what he did, that was the end of it. I'll just read what I have on the plate here, and then we're going to go to the next one. First resurrection, what? The old language. It was language that brought us from the caste system, biblical mind, to the Nation of Islam mythology. That was what it was, Yaqub's myth, Yaqub's history, the skunk of the planet Earth, and whatever, all the rest of that language. That was the language that Farad gave us and that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad carried through, and all those processes associated with it, that was what was called the Nation of Islam, boom, first resurrection, as explained by Imam Muhammad, second resurrection. Reconcile new language, meaning that this is the language you had, this is the language that was used, that brought you out of the first grave that you were put in, the graveyard of the Bible. That was what brought you out of the first mode of destruction, which is identified as the Negro, the sleeping, mentally dead, so-called American Negro. Okay, that was what brought about that transformation, Nation of Islam. Boom. Imam Muhammad explained it. He calls it the first resurrection. Okay, here comes the second resurrection. He is representing at that moment the second resurrection. What did he do? He deciphered, decoded the first resurrection language and also created a bridge language that was compatible to al-Islam in order to liberate the purified human potential of the followers, which were ex-Negroes. That's why we got the X, because we were ex-Negroes. But we didn't know who we were. We didn't know what our potential was. And the rest of the symbolism is you take a zero, put a one next to it, it becomes 10 times as much X. X is the symbol of the unknown. X marks the spot. X also represents the Roman numeral 10 and all the rest of that. So, and one of the statements that Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi made is that my main mission was to save the sincere followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to save the sincere. I'm using the language save, but using it in that capacity, meaning for them to get the full benefit of what they had gone through in the Nation of Islam, in as much as that was not the end of it, that was just the beginning of it. And we talked about how the temple was basically, and the Nation of Islam was basically the place where we were making wudu. We were getting ready for prayer. And Elijah Muhammad cleaned us up, took us to the religion, says, one coming after you is going to teach you the religion. I'm just take you to the door. All right? All right. Let's end the second resurrection. Let's go on for time's sake. Imam Muhammad does what he does. Imam Muhammad passes away. He passed away. Alhamdulillah. He had done his job. He has done his job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take anybody out until they have completed the mission for which they were created. Imam Muhammad completed his mission very successfully. And one student's representation of the success of that mission is reconnecting the purified and liberated soul to the sacred language of the scripture, of course, mainly the Quran, and creation for building Ummah. That's what he left us to, set us up for, and began after the, I watch Gold Rush sometimes, I'm sure some of you do too, that History Channel, Discovery Channel piece of the gold miners, right? And they have this thing called overburden. They have this thing, overburden. Overburden is like, okay, look, the gold is up under all this stuff that we call overburden. So we have to get down to the pay dirt, right? Pay dirt means that dirt that has the gold in it. All dirt don't have gold in it. So you have overburden and you have other layers of dirt on it. You have to get down to what they call the pay layer. When you get down to the pay layer, now that's what you dig up and sluice. And then out of that process, here comes the gold. The gold comes out of that process, right? But you got to get through a whole lot of pay dirt, and you got to get through a lot of overburden with some heavy machinery in order to get down to that layer that has that goal. All right, so Imam Muhammad, he removed all the overburden. The overburden was the burden of mythology, right? The burden of mythology. And how did he get rid of the burden of mythology? He deciphered it. He decoded us. He gave us the language, and he enabled us to save the gold that was inside the language of that, but was also a burden. So he was able to get us down to the pay layer, get us down to the pay dirt, right? So that we'll be able to dig into what he had cleared away the misconception, misunderstanding, the shirk of it, overburden, get rid of it, the mythology, get rid of it. But you don't just quote unquote literally toss it aside like that, because there's some gold in that. So there was some pay dirt, but again, you had to get rid of all the stuff that was burdening the pay dirt and get down to it. So let's move on. So the gold is what we got. What the Imam showed us how to do is how to dig into the whole world of knowledge. Yes, your Quran, Life Model of Prophet Muhammad, but also mythology and the Bible and other sources of pay dirt, right? But you had to have the right tools, intellectual tools, cognitive tools, in order to be able to go in and pull out the gold. All right. Well, those students who say, look, those people who successfully, I'll go back in before that. Right. You have those people who have that Nat Turner spirit, you know, who had that Denmark Jesse spirit, you know, that Harriet Tubman spirit, that Frederick Douglass spirit. That was gold amongst us, period. That kind of gold was in there. Yes, you know, we know about these names that I mentioned to you, but there was a whole lot of, somebody helped them, somebody supported them, somebody got behind them in order to help them succeed. They didn't succeed as quote-unquote solo acts. Why? It's because they were simply, not to diminish it, but they were iconically, archetypally representatives of the spirit that was in among the whole. They were the gold among the rest of the people. Some people were, maybe they were just suited for slavery, had no intention, no idea, no interest in getting out of that situation. As hard as it is to believe, yeah, that's what the situation can do for them. Some people, just like life, some people just give up on life, period, because it's just too much. It's just too much, too many, too complex, too difficult, too many burdens, one problem after another, I'm checking out. Well, people do that in situations like that. But in any case, you have these others that I just named, you know, those shining lights, those people that, Harriet Tubman was, she was some Moses something, I'm sorry. She was treated and seen in that same way. All of that is to say that that goal was that goal G-O-A-L and G-O-L-D, the goal of freedom, justice, and equality, et cetera, was in our nature. Okay. Well, then it was unearthed. It was unearthed, and so that goal and that gold was coming more and more to the surface, right? Coming more and more to the surface. What was happening in our lives is digging more and more down to that layer where more and more and more gold is coming out of our experience, right? And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a major piece, a major chunk of that gold, and he was able to mine more gold from this same group of people, the El Haj Malik El Shabazz and the Muhammad Ali's and all the other unnamed giants that came under the sway, like a James Brown, that came under the sway of the influential work and knowledge of the Nation of Islam. Okay, so you get that. So more and more purification. So Imam Muhammad, when he came again, greater and greater purification comes out of that. So all of that, when Imam Muhammad rahimahullah finished his work, the best, Allahu A'lam, everybody got to deal with their own stuff, right? The best of what was possible out of that particular process, that was what was above the ground, not the end of it, but the beginning of it. I mean, it's like, I just saw Imam Suleiman, for example. He's, alhamdulillah, a great prophet. Yeah, he's from the west side, my side, and that side, so I'll stay away from all the rest of the rhetorical contact to it. But the impact, the global impact and the regional impact and the national impact, of him, that's an example. Imam Dr. Wazir, I can name it all, but what I'm pointing to, why I'm pointing to that right now, is they were on vacation. He and his family in Mexico. I saw Facebook post up that they put, and they were standing in front of a Supreme Burger, a Supreme Burger restaurant, Mexico. I was like, come on, and that which is. Which is the son Shamsuddin, right? Shamsuddin, his father, which is one of those who were beneficiaries of the decentralization of Imam Muhammad's work, because Imam Muhammad, yeah, he's working with the language, but he's also working with the structure of the community as well. That's a story; it'll be told. It's been being told. It can only just come out as bits and pieces in circumstances like this. And somebody's working on it formally, finally, to make it, hey, here's the ultimate, you know, understanding of what happened, right? And Allah only knows the whole story. So, but the point that I'm making, I'm pointing to that to be as one singular example of the product of the work of Imam. All of you know, we'd have to roll out a cavalcade of powerful influencers, scholars, entrepreneurs, professionals at all levels. So I'm going to stop because I'm going to leave somebody out that are very, very important to me if I start talking about this. But I'm just using that because it's right there in my mind. It's like, there's an example. Here's the sons, actually, and then, you know, of course, Shahida, her family, and their history and the legacy that they represent. You know, we have to talk about Syria. We have to talk about Atlanta as a community. Yeah, you have to talk about Oakland as a community and the mix that I'm mentioning right there. But then you can find this truth of what I'm talking about across the whole country in terms of what Imam Muhammad's impact left above ground. I'm talking about gold, that he's left above ground, and many of these nuggets of gold, many of us don't even know them. We don't even know them, and we don't know what they're doing. I know many, many, many of them, but I don't know all of them. So all of this is to say, Imam Muhammad had already accomplished the success of his work as commissioned by God, and Allah knows best. So much so that, like, y'all can handle it from here. He made statements like that before he passed. He said, I've already done what I'm going to do is complete. I'm satisfied. I'm at peace with what I've done. Yeah. You can remember about the failings of the imams and those statements, et cetera. Yeah, and that's true. And it continues to be true on some level. But the judgment is not on the basis of what's wrong. The judgment is on the basis of the best products, the best results. All right? And so the imam did that. So now, to talk about the... we've been using the language game and metagame, you know, how Islam, and yeah, I need you to own that, but excuse me, a simple, manageable way of understanding. Don't get lost in that word, metagame, game. No, don't worry about it. Here's what's meant by that. If you say you're a Muslim doctor, Muslim engineer, Muslim entrepreneur, blah, 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 then that means that Al-Islam is dictating the way you do whatever that is. Al-Islam is saying, Al-Islam is the filter by which you're processing the way you go about being a doctor, being an engineer, being an attorney, blah, 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 whatever, a teacher, a father, a mother. That's what it means, the fact that when you say that you're a Muslim, blah, 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 then everything falls under the umbrella, the filter, the light of Islam. That because why? Al-Islam is the meta game. And every other thing that you're doing under that, that's the game, right? So you're doing the attorney game, but you're doing it as a Muslim. You're doing the doctor game, but you're doing it as a Muslim. You're doing the entrepreneur game, but you're doing it as a Muslim. Should be easy. All right? Even the ethnic piece, you know, how you got to deal with the ethnicity is the reality. On many, many levels. But your Islam comes before your ethnicity. Your Islam comes before your ethnicity. That's another reason to not call yourself a black Muslim. If you call yourself a black Muslim, then what does it mean? What comes first? Your ethnicity comes first and your Islam comes after that? Give that up. Give that up. Okay? Don't try to save it. Don't try to salvage it. Throw it away. Because that's what you're doing when you fail to do that. Oh, I'm a black Muslim. Really? So what's primary? You're black or you're Muslim? And you know how stupid it sounds that we are. I'm a Muslim black. Now, let it go. All right. So, okay. But here's something that even simplifies that. What simplifies that is that if you're a Muslim doctor, What's the easiest way to go about it? Without the details that I just gave? You already took Shahada Tain, so that's why you have the label, the title, the name Muslim, right, as a part of your identity. All right, so you got that. Then that means the rest of it, your doctor, did make your salat. Your doctor, did pay your zakat. Your doctor, fast in the month of Ramadan. Your doctor, then have the intention and make Hajj. Do that. And that will be the general manifestation of the metagame of Al-Islam in your life. Attorney, do the same. Engineer, do the same. Entrepreneur, do the same. Now, if you're doing all those things, but you're neglecting your salat, neglecting your zakat, neglecting your fasting, and have no intention to make Hajj, which you took 4 or 5 major vacations, you got to fix that, okay? All right, and so if you do those things, I mean, if you're committed to waqim as-salat, waatu az-zakat, et cetera, then automatically all the other things, naturally and logically, even just the effort to fulfill those obligations are going to lead you to live in a more extended way the life of Al-Islam inside of whatever your other labels and the other titles and the other aims and games that you have to play as such. I hope my grandchildren's joy is not too distracting. All right, so let's do this. Now, what we said that, yes, this work, this plate right here, this page that we're showing right now, that's just talking about the work. okay, after you do the work, Imam, again, he gave an example. He said, listen, if somebody's drowning, right, when someone's drowning, when you take them out of the water, you, quote-unquote, you rescue them, but they were drowning before, you take them out of the water, especially even if you get them on land and they're unconscious. You've seen this many times in dramatic presentation. Hopefully not in real life, but because I know that can be traumatic, but in the context of a situation, somebody's drowning, lifeguard goes in, saves them, brings them up on land. They're all straight. And so let's say they're even straight enough where they don't even need to go to the hospital. They don't need to go to the hospital, right? But the point is that they still have to keep on living. They have to keep on living. They have to, okay, whatever they were, if they were a student, if they were a father, mother, teacher, doctor, lawyer, whatever, they still have to go on with the life that they had before that particular incident. Okay, so the drowning incident, the experimental clinic designed to cause us to dysfunction in the vital areas of our lives, that we were drowning, we were dying, et cetera, and we were actually unconscious, and somebody came and pulled us out of that condition, that state of mind, right? And what they did, they brought us into a new state of mind. They revivified us, resuscitated us, right? First resurrection, second resurrection. Okay, so now, what are you supposed to be about right now? You sit down and think all the time about, man, I almost drowned. Man, I almost drowned. Man, I almost... No. No, you don't do that. You go with your new lease on life to be about whatever it was in the case of professions, whatever it was that you were about before you had that particular event occur in your life. Okay, what were you doing? Okay, do that. Now, what are we talking about? The before. The before is when that people whose DNA, whose genetic background, and whose history traces back to the horrible middle passage and the horrible. Without even talking about the shortcomings or failings that may have happened on the African continent, we know that ground zero for the Bilalian people of African descent living in the Western Hemisphere, ground zero was slavery. Boom. And that was chattel slavery, which was like no other slavery. Okay, well, that was when we fell into that deep water, from my analogy. That's when we fell into that deep water, and we're in that water for 400 years, 379 years, you choose your number, right? And then the resuscitation process started. So I'm not going to go back over that territory. We talk about resuscitation one, resuscitation two. Okay, now you're all out of the water. You're not drowning anymore. You're conscious again. Okay, well, what were you on or supposed to be on before that event, right? And we have said, and we believe it is true, that we have been reset to our original factory specifications. We have been reset to our original factory specifications. I had some technical support this morning. My computer wasn't doing what I needed to do. So you have a service, connect with that service, and that service, what you do, you actually turn over to them. Okay, you go ahead, do your thing, do what you do to get in, fix this, fix that. But it's gonna take a little while. You know, we'll call you when we got it. Da, 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 da. And so they go in, find all the trash, find all the malware, find all the connections, get rid of the useless applications, da, 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 da. And then now you're all set. You're all set. Now, whatever it was you were working on before you had this problem that interrupted your work, that's what you're supposed to get back to now. Since everything has been set, everything has been cleared up, everything is ready to go. Now, listen. What we're saying, and what I believe is true, I don't think I'm the only one, but I'm speaking for myself. I'm quite certain that I'm not the only one, but I still limit myself to that. It's like our being reset to our original specifications after that traumatic moment and because of that traumatic moment and through that traumatic, we call it moment, that history, that is a part of the fulfillment of what was inside of the mythology, even though it was pay dirt, some dross on top of the gold, right? Talking about Farad, spittle, mud on the eye, blah, blah. That being reset to the original factory specifications, in consequence of that which was a very terrible and evil operation on the surface. The reset that I'm speaking about right now is the reset to the Adamic, original Adamic level. So, yeah, who is the original man? Allahu Akbar. Who is the original man? Now, I'm not going to give the Nation of Islam answer. But that was the goal. And it was also in the lesson where it says, who is my true self? Who is my own self? My own self is a righteous Muslim. Are there any Muslims other than righteous? I beg your pardon, I've never heard of such. Allahu Akbar. So this thing, that thing that we went through, the before and the after, the experimental clinic and the first and the second resurrection, experimental clinic purged us. Oh, we lost our language, we lost our religion, we lost our culture, we lost our name, we lost our history. I know it ain't absolutely PC, but this is not a normal kind of thing that's going on. But it's like, yeah. And in the final analysis, that was a blessing. Oh, hell, just the trolls are coming. No, that's all one side of the story. Look, I'm a Muslim believer, right? So we believe in the khair and the shar. So there's not a thing that happens in life that doesn't have in it some benefit and some harm. Not a thing. There's not a thing existing, and there's not a thing that does not have its potential benefit, its potential harm. That's how it is. وَقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرْهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Allah knows how much is in that. So there was, in everything that I've talked about, a measure of benefit, a measure of harm. And as I said, there are some people that got the harm, some people got the benefit. I personally feel like I've gotten the benefit, and I think there are many others who've gotten the benefit. Hey, if you got it. It's like that's between you and God on the rest of that, on all of that, really. So let me get to make this point again. All of that, the rescue, and getting back to doing what you were doing before you had the traumatic experience, what is for us now, today, in this state and condition, what is the getting back to what you were doing before the traumatic thing, before the traumatic experience? The getting back to what you were doing before also includes what was happening before we fell off in Africa, because there was a fall off. Trust this, the Lord of the worlds, who says, that is because I will never change the grace I bestow upon the people until they change it themselves, what is in their own soul. So look, if somebody goes up, it's because their soul was in the right state and Allah rewarded that soul in the right state. If someone in a good state goes down, it's because they have changed something in their soul that caused them to go down. God doesn't change it unless something else changes inside of them. So if you're good and it goes bad, let's go the other way. If you're bad and it goes good, then alhamdulillah, it's because the soul had the right change that led you up to that good. If it's good and it goes bad, it's because the soul had a change that caused it to go down. Well, Allah says, it is but your deeds that I reckon up and recompense you for, Let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. So any and all of the doctrine that wants to point the finger at Joe and Sue and Bill and whoever else, listen, there's a role that everybody plays, and in the judgment, Allah is going to measure all that out. And everybody's going to, and the qadr right now, everybody's getting what goes with it in this three-dimensional space and time. But the ultimate scale is going to be set up and weighed to a nicety. Everybody that had whatever role in whatever happened to anybody and while any moment in their life, that's in the al-akhir. Well, that's in Yawm al-Qiyamah. So now, all right. So what is the get back to what you were on before all of that happened? So now that you, I hope you understand, I reached in and incorporated all of the African history, and I reached in and incorporated all the Middle Passage stuff, and I've incorporated at the end of that process, first resurrection, second resurrection, and now people at the end of that process standing reset to the original factory specification, meaning the way that Allah created you and getting to that state where what populates your mind and what guides and structures your thinking, your way of reasoning, your way of perceiving and the behavior that goes with it, you have a new found, those who have gone through that process in sincerity and by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are now new people. They are now new people. This is why Imam says, we agree, it is true, we are a new people on the earth. A new, there has never, Allahu alam, alhamdulillah, you just got to embrace your blessing at whatever comes from people. Ah, that nigga's crazy and going off and it's whatever. Go on. We are a new people. There has never been. Listen, there was never anybody ever like a Negro, period. Negroes, never before. Never. Boom, done. Now, I'm sorry, I can't think of it without laughing. Because I think I lost what I was telling. But now, get a Negro that is taken out of that state and with the emptiness that you know when somebody, they wipe a hard drive, you know, they wipe the hard drive, it's still the operating system. Well, literally in this case, no operating system, right? So you put a whole new operating, you wipe the hard drive, so all the memory and all the whatever was there, that's wiped. But it's still functional, still operates, and so you put in a new operating system, and so it starts. So now you rebuild it, all over again, right? Well, that's basically where we are. The Negro was wiped clean. You say it all the time, those who say it, right? We lost everything. You didn't lose your nature. You didn't lose your nature. It's unreachable. Allah says, over every soul, he has placed a guardian, right? So, yeah, there's a place that could not be penetrated, could not be destroyed, okay? That's what the reset, these soul folks want, spooks, spirits, et cetera, pure soul, pure spirit, but we had no body. We had no body for that original. Let's see if we can get out of this. I don't know. The point is, I'm talking about time for time's sake. The point is that in terms of who is the original man, the original factory specifications, having been wiped clean, having been stripped of everything, having gone through an experience that nobody else in the world has ever gone through, and then think of the Lord of the worlds coming to that people who... When he's, what do you mean, coming to that people? When Al-Islam reached them, the will of God reached them. When Al-Islam reached those people, the will of God reached them. That's what I mean, okay? No anthropomorphism here. When that people who were in a closed system under an absolute master, when those people were put where there were no doors and there were no windows, all right? But then the spirit of Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, reached them, his will reached them. It's like now you start seeing what you could not, you can't, you have no explanation for it except that it was from Allah, from God, from the creator of the heavens and the earth. Yes, I think that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the supporting ideas, just message-wise, sign-wise, where Muhammad Ali, iconic the world over, and he was not a man of letters in the way people understand a man of letters. And he was not a man of whatever people think about monk-like purity. Let's just put it like that. Not a man of monk-like purity. He's a man, right? From among those people with the heart, the soul, the mind, the aspirations that go along with being among those people, from a Louisville, Kentucky, okay? But what was he first? He was clay. He was clay. And Allah took that clay and shaped it into something. No matter who hate, who don't like, oh, I knew the nigga to do, and he did blah, 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 blah. How he going to be a model for this and model for that? That's God's business. That's me talking. That's God's business. Shit. And that's from clay to manhood, to the Adamic state, right? And he iconically represented his life, his story, his archetypal, his story is legendary, and it will be legendary for a very long time. But he is also a product of that first resurrection, second resurrection. It's like, come on, everybody can claim, and you can try to push everybody aside that was around Imam Muhammad and all the rest of that, whatever. It's like, man, you cannot take the Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam and that community. You can't take that out of that, and you can't do that for El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, otherwise known as Malcolm X. Man, you listen. You can't, people try to steal it, people try to shade it, people try to cut it off, people say, no, they got to do that. Say whatever you want to say. That belongs to that movement. They belong to that movement. Right? All right. So, what does all this always mean? What are you trying to get to, Fahim? I'm trying to get to that idea of us understanding that if you really got what Imam Muhammad brought, and if you really access what Imam Muhammad has left us as an inheritance, that job, that original job that you were on before your DNA went through that experience, the job that you're on is the same job that Adam was put on when he was put into the garden. The job that you are is the same job that you're on when Allah told Adam and his wife, get ye down from here. On earth will be your dwelling place for a time. He said, I'm saying, the mission that we're on after all of this and arriving at this state of purity, right? So first steps that I think, okay, what am I supposed to be working on? Okay, now I'm alive, now I'm back, now all that's over, da 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 da. What am I supposed to be working on? You're supposed to be working on the same job the Creator created Adam for, but in the current time and with the current tools and the current technology that's available, you are supposed to be doing the work of Adam in modern times And you who have that purity, what do you mean purity? You have, you are using as a foundation for your thinking and the foundation and the filter for all other thinking. You're using what Allah revealed in the Quran, what Allah revealed in the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the purity of your own soul and its potential. You're using that to progress and to advance in the world. That's what you're supposed to be working on right now. And just like there's no one like the Negro having that history, no one. It's like nobody can do that job better. But it don't look like it to me. Okay, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Everything I started, have you ever seen an acorn? Have you ever seen an acorn when it matures? Have you ever recognized how long that California, they have the sequoias. Look that up. Look at a sequoia seed and look at the giant sequoias and then look at how long that takes. It don't matter. If I'm looking at, if I had a sequoia seed in my hand right now, that seed's going to be around very much longer than I'm going to be around. A long time, right? We are a seed for a greater future. It is what it is, and I'm not going fanatic crazy, but I will have passed from this life for a little while before the greater. I've already showed you that some examples. There's so many of them, I didn't even start on the list because I don't want to leave nobody out. But there's so much gold above the ground already in the second generation, or rather the first generation of the second resurrection. I am actually working on a document that just too many projects, not too many, just can't get to it all. But the point is, the first generation of the second resurrection, they are. This ain't the best word, but I'm going to put it this way. They are monsters. They are monsters. Seriously. I'm just letting them run through my head right now. I'm not going to mention any names because I love them all. I call them my nieces. I call them my nephews. They are, I'm used this language, beasts. Man. That's just the first generation of the second resurrection. And look, and all these people that want to be hating on Imam Muhammad, yeah, it's just going to be that kind of morning right now. Look. These people that want to hate on Imam Muhammad, they want to dismiss Imam Muhammad, they want to marginalize Imam Muhammad, they're all eating from the plate of the talent that was born from the fertile soil that was laid down and cultivated by Imam Wahdati Muhammad. You look at some of the most successful organizations that are representing the movement of Al-Islam in America. You hey, take out everybody that drank from the WD-40 cup. Take out everybody. Take everybody. Okay, you're fired. You can't. Let's take away anything you contributed to. We're going to take it out. Take out. So-and-so, Abdul X, blah, blah, blah. I just use X for anything else because I don't want to use any real name. Okay, you did this. You started this time. Okay, you did this. Okay, we're going to take you out and take away everything that you contributed to the project. Okay. You know, Rashida Sozo. Okay, you started this time. We're going to take you out and everything you contributed to. I'm telling you, do that across the board for the life of Al-Islam in America. Do that across the board, and you show me what's left. Show me what's left. It's not going to be much. It's not going to be much. And there are those who even hide the fact that you got resuscitated by Imam Muhammad. And I know from immigrants that admit that, look, I wasn't practicing Islam until I got exposed to you all. And when I get exposed, see what happens with them, the Imam broke it down. What happens with them, the Imam says, the difference between them and us is somebody who's had their leg amputated and somebody whose leg is going to sleep. Imam, says he's just perfect as a teacher. The difference between them and us, and someone whose leg has been amputated, that's us, amputated, and someone whose leg is going to sleep, that's them. Their leg is just going to sleep. Oh, yeah, I was a Muslim. I was born a Muslim in country X, country Y, country Z. But when I came to America and went to college, all I was doing, I just wanted to live the American life, blah, blah, blah. But then when I got exposed to Islam, and I'm seeing you all excited about it, and I had grown up with it, and I wasn't that excited about it. Then when I see y'all getting all excited about it, I got excited about it again. That's that leg getting stimulated. Then they go on and just mash in this caste system with that, some of them adopting, not the good ones, some of them adopting the very caste system mentality against black Muslims and trying to promote that idea amongst us. And then they go on and lead the mud seal right where it was. Oh, yeah, they're autodidactic. They haven't been taught. They don't know the religion. They can't pronounce the Makhrej correctly. They don't know the history. Come on. It's all good. But they, too, the doors that were open for them, their access to what America promises, oh, man, it's just too much. It's just too much. It's just too much. I won't stay with that. I won't stay with that because it's like it's a road that if you haven't got that figured out, if you haven't peaked that, if you're not settled with that issue yet, then I take you back to the first chapter of Carter G. Woodson, Miseducation of the Negro, and just change the language, miseducation of the so-called quote unquote Negro Muslims. You know, I know that's an insulting phrase, but there are people who are worthy of insult because of being in that state. Because if you are that Negro now in al-Islam and you react to another group of people the same way you reacted under the white man, you just traded masters, you're a problem. You're a problem. And I'm not going to spend much more time on that at all. In fact, let me just cut. Cut, Fahim. Now let's go on something else. The Imam says, in fact, no, let me start here. Yeah, let's start here. New idea, turn the page. Life goes on. The Imam makes a statement. I won't read through this whole thing. I just pull out the main portion of it that I want to underscore. And that is translating the complicated ideas and theories into the language of the common person, so they can get the benefit. That's a part of the mission of the students, followers, supporters, and teachers of Imam Wahdati Muhammad and his school of thought, as I explained earlier, as I defined it earlier. And this is also an example of the teaching that the Imam has given us, which is designed to put us back on that work that basically was interrupted in all of the history that came just prior to and including the Middle Passage. The history that came just prior to it was whatever conditions in Africa that facilitated the horrible, and that those on the continent, they demonstrated that they didn't really know what was going on over here in terms of that the chattel plantation system. Much history to define that. So sometimes it's just getting rid of a political problem, and that they really didn't know what was going on. But it was the divisiveness, the division, and the tribalism, and other things like that, or facts of the African history, even, and of course, after al-Islam, because the Middle Passage and chattel slavery happened in a period after al-Islam had been there for centuries. So that goes back to, if you go up, it's because you went from good to bad in your own soul. If you go down, it's because you went from, if you go up, it's went from bad to good. If you go down, you went from good to bad, and boom, that's what happened in Africa, and I've already told that story. All right, so the point is now we're beyond first resurrection, second resurrection. We're at the point of getting back on the job that we were on. I'm talking about the job that we were on as Adam before Africa, right? So when Imam Muhammad speaks to us in these addresses, like this is from one of the publications that Imam Ronald was blessed to put together, Education of Sacred Matter, from a series of years of comment. And he wasn't the only one. There were others. There were others who were in that conversation and had the same rights to publish, et cetera. Alhamdulillah. In fact, I have both right here from two other sources. That's Brother Gianni and I can see his smiling face right now. Okay. His name escapes me. Somebody knows. If you know, just throw it up in the chat if you type it. Morocco. Yeah, Brother Morocco. Alhamdulillah, because we're in the ground in paradise, inshallah, as I understand. I hope. I can't say I hope I'm wrong, but mashallah, I think he has passed away. Any case, so I'm just pointing this out so it can be, so the record can show that, no, Imam Rana wasn't the only one. There were others who did that, and they had the same rights to do that. But I do have to say that Imam Ronald has put out more of those publications as a consequence of that. Not without criticism. I'm just being transparent because I don't want you to get sidetracked, okay? Get the value of the information. All right. So it's in Ramadan sessions, right? Those Ramadan sessions that the Imam had, and particularly the public, the post-Imam only retreats. In the Ramadan sessions, especially the Ramadan sessions, I should say, but then and also these Thursday sessions. And then I also have to speak about gold and jewels. Those students that Imam Muhammad was dedicated to. I know I'll leave somebody out if I don't mention them. But going back to Atlanta, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, I'm gonna let him iconically be a representative of that. Of course, I should mention Khadija, Imam Muhammad's widow. He and she are also models of that gold that Imam left. But also, they were students who were privy to a level of information that was more than just the public information. It wasn't like secret doctrine or whatever. No. It's just the Imam was just very deliberate and focused on giving this group of people, and in these two circumstances, I'm talking about the Thursday sessions, which the books come out of, and the Sunday sessions, in my memory, that the Imam had with his particular students. And he treated them in the way like Sheikh Khutaro treated those students. Some of them were the same. Some of them from that group also went to Syria during the life of Sheikh Khutaro. Those students from here and from the Imam's community, they were always kept up front row with Sheikh Khutaro when they were in Syria. And likewise, Imam, when he would have the first Sundays here, he would have those students, his students, they would also be right up front and present, et cetera. And then, of course, they had the other sessions that were basically for them. With him. And so richness, what I'm trying to get to is that teaching that takes and makes complicated ideas and theories and takes them and puts them into language of a common person, that's what the Imam did during those Ramadan sessions. That's what the Imam did during the Thursday sessions. That's what the Imam did with the young people in the Sunday sessions, I'll call it, and all of that. All right, so now it's that information which is communicated post and benefited by upon the preparation that the first resurrection and second resurrection provided, right? Because just you talked about the young students, the Imam Abdul Rashad Abdul Rahman what I think about him, and he talked about how when he's going back and forth with his mother on a daily basis to work when he was a child, very young child, listening to the tapes of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. That's before he, you know, got old enough to go in and learn and be taught by the Imam. So that was also, that's a part of their precondition and their preparation. And, of course, Khadija, the same with her father, Imam Siddiq, rahmatullahi alayh. It's like, man, that, I say again, the first generation of the second resurrection. And that's just a very small sample of what, even if I call it a sample, examples. To that knowledge, see, you have to get to that knowledge. See, the early now, all the 80s stuff, the 90s stuff, the early 2000s stuff, of course, we know the Imam passed away, rahimahullah, 2008. And so in the latter years, especially in the Ramadan sessions and the like, the Imam was giving up that jewel and that goal that was next level material. Let's say, I don't want to say stuff. Next level material, which means what? What I'm saying is this. That's where that real Adamic work, that cosmic man work, it's with that material. It's with that material that we are to do the work that continues the Adamic, the cosmic work, the ethnic work, the racism work. Alhamdulillah, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides your heart, has you convicted of that. Maybe that's Tuisha's goal to which Allah turned him. Hey, as a focus, as a conviction, as I'm never going to let it go, I'm going to stay on the case, takbir. Do that, because that just may be what Allah created you for. Go on with that. So I'm not diminishing at all. Everybody has to find their place, work in their places. So let me keep this personalized relative to this. My sense of that knowledge that the Imam gave that transcends the issues of black economics, the issues of black unity, you know, I'm using those words, that whatever. It's like there's a soul dimension. There's the growth of the human excellence and its expression, which is multivariate in the way that it manifests and what it does, meaning that you grow this part of yourself, this soul part of this Adamic part of yourself, you grow that. And it's like you're taking, I used NOS last week, but somebody figure out something else, some other kind of nuclear food, whatever, man, I mean, in the best way. If you're a doctor and you understand these ideas that the Imam get, you're bringing nuclear food to your medical career. You're an attorney, you get this understanding, you're bringing nuclear food to your legal career. Wallahi, Allahu A'lam. Okay? So that's because what are you doing? What you're doing is you are actually cultivating and bringing on board, in computer language, you're bringing online the deepest latent cosmic fundamental foundational power in the universe itself to bear on how you do what you do in this world. It could be sound art, it could be poetry, it could be parenting, it could be whatever. Because whatever you do, you're going to do it with that real fitri soul. You know, I don't want to say soul like, you know, soul brother number one, you know, the queen of soul. It's like, no, I mean, I'm talking way deeper than that. Even though we're experiencing that power, we see that. The point is that when you can connect with that knowledge that is in the foundation of creation and become conscious of it and know it, it's like it's not E equals MC squared kind of stuff that you might be imagining. No. It's not quantum physics type stuff. That comes too. But we're just talking about a pattern of thinking that makes everything that you cognitively touch better, clearer, etc. So let me read this statement here. So here's Imam explaining to us, this is just in this brief paragraph, explaining to us the depths of these archetypes, these symbols that we hear all the time, but if we haven't been taught, which is what the school of Imam Wahid Muhammad does, teaches us how to unpack sacred matters and make the information functional in our lives. That's what the Imam does. How long you been hearing about Jesus? All your life. How long you been hearing about Adam? All your life. How long you been hearing about Christ? All your life. What do you know about them? How do they relate to your reality? How do they relate to your everyday world? How does it relate to your advancement in education, your advancement in business, your advancement in all other fields of human interest? Well, that's what the Imam does. And that's the Imam equipping the saved Adam, the original man, the original factory setting guy, male and female. He said, here, try some of this. I said, you feel better? Yeah, try some of this. And then, That's what happens. Who's going like that? The doctor, the lawyer, the architect, the teacher, the father, the mother, the student, the businessman, businesswoman. Why? Because they had a little taste of that sacred science that the Imam blessed us with as an inheritance and that Allah blessed us with as a mercy for all of that history that we went through and that we quote-unquote lost. By virtue of what we did, but which is preserved, the best of it, all of it, but the best of it. And because of our development, we're able to, if we develop, we're able to bring forth the best and suppress the rest, okay? In the best way, in the good way, such that it's metabolized. It doesn't come haunting back to us in some kind of mental breakdown. That's got to give you the psychological dimension of it. Finish the reading. The Imam says, this is from Education Sacred Matter, page 117. He says, Jesus represents a sign for man to reconcile his life again with nature, as Adam did. He is the second Adam, Jesus Christ. So now here comes the logic from that understanding. What do you mean logic? Behavioral expectation. The Imam is saying, okay, if you want to be that and if you want to get the benefit of that symbol which holds the message for you, then here's the logic that comes from it that tells you how you should behave. That's what the Imam, this is the grace that Allah gives the Imam. Imam, Allah blesses the Imam to understand what the sign is communicating. He pulls the information out, and then he shares it with us. And what he's sharing is information. So he's saying, this is what you should do. Reconcile your life again with the nature created by God, and then you will find patterns for your thinking that will bring you into the great destination that God wants you to reach for your capacity. And your potential inside of you, a virtual heaven on earth. Now imagine this, in the quote. Imagine somebody, ain't got time for all that. What's all that talking about? Man, why don't you just say la, Muhammad Rasulullah, why don't you just follow the sunnah, man? Get you some sandals and vicar beads and a thobe and call it, man. I'm sorry, you know, mashallah, you know me. No. You have to learn how to think. You have to learn, and think it simply means just read it and take each word understand what it means. If there's any words in there that you don't know what that word actually means, then make sure you access, hey, use the dictionary if you have to. Do that, and then put it back together. And say, oh, this is what it means. But what the imam says in this statement is that this is what you should be doing in the return to your original life and mission as created by God. especially Bilalians. Listen, the rest of the world is disconnected from this knowledge. There's a limited, and frankly, the most elite in the world are the ones who understand this, meaning that this is what they are operating with. You listen to what I'm saying? The most elite in this world. I'm talking about the elite academicians, the elite scientists, the elite governance leaders, the elite business people. They understand. When I say they understand, the elite do. Now, it's like, doesn't mean everybody's got $1 billion and understands this. No, you don't have to have this understand to get $1 billion. Too much proof in the world to me to have to even argue that point. But we, what the imam has given us by virtue of this kind of knowledge, standard or not, he's given us what the best in the world has. And this is by the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, I have proof in these couple of plates, right? I'll just show them to you. We're not going to talk about it. But, you know, if we ever, whenever, mashallah, Allahu a'lam, I just want to show you that. I mean, that it's there waiting to, inshallah, when we get to it, to show you that what the imam has given us is what the elite in the world understand and most of the rest of the world doesn't understand. That being the case, that means you are in a position, by virtue of that inheritance, you're in a position to know what the rest of the world doesn't know, to shape, and out the goal is not to hide it, but get your benefit, so such that you can feed your soul and your mind in a way, and nourish it in a way that 99% of the world is not in a position to be nurtured. Wallahi, Allahu a'lam. But because it's going to take us some time in order to get to that. So basically, I'll go ahead and stop right there, because what happens now, we have to start explaining. I'll go ahead and put that. I'll put that plate up there so those of you who are in the screenshots, you know, boom, just take a screenshot. It's also therefore going to be a part of the recording. But there's a lot of explanation that comes with that, and we'll get to that, inshallah, by Allah's grace and mercy, another point in time. But for me, right now, I'm going to give an opportunity for brief comments. After it, please don't reteach me, okay? But you can extend the thought, share what you understand, you know, such that people can benefit. If you think you have something that would be beneficial and you trust your own heart, then please do so. What am I doing? I'm trying to get rid of this image here. What's going on? Okay, good. All right. So let me see. Blog Talk, Glenn Bushwell on your phone. I can see comments. I'm actually going to go ahead and take that out for now. Excuse me. All right. So I'll do a couple of billboards and move on. Who we got for the Abdul Shaheed? Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, thank you. Latifa, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. My dear, dear, dear brother Yahya Abdullah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, and also Adib Shakir, assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah, shukran. And Zakiya, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, Karen I. Taylor, welcome. Alhamdulillah. Well, she sees something I don't see, but I trust her. Amin. So all the comments that are on YouTube and Facebook, I don't always get them through. I'm on the StreamYard platform, so I'm not a master of it, but I use it. So not hearing any or seeing any comments, or nobody pushing up one on the Blog Talk side, that means we're going to go ahead and check out. So, alhamdulillah, thank you so much. And inshallah, may Allah guide us, protect us, and forgive us our shortcomings, and bless us to grow in all ways that are best for serving His will in the world. God's peace be on you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tomorrow, wealth creation and preservation.